I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we heard on the news about one of the most wanted men in America was finally caught and he lost his life. I'm not sure of his first name, but I know his last name was Dorner. I know that he had shot and killed a number of policemen. He himself was an ex-policeman. But on that news report, I don't know if you remember it or not, or whether you can remember that far back or not, but on that news report, they said that he was one of America's most wanted men. He was a fugitive. Well, lots of people spend their time on the run. Not necessarily from the law, might I add. But many people spend their life on the run from God. I wonder, in this service this evening, is there anyone and you're running away from God? You're running away from God. You're trying to avoid Him. You really don't want to meet up with Him. Now, there are numbers of people, there are two groups of people that could be on the run from the Lord here this evening. Those that are unsaved. We'll refer to them as sinners. You see, there are some in this group, and they're convinced that God is out to get them. That He is going to spoil their lives. Can I say to you that He might spoil your plans, but He most certainly will not spoil your life. He might spoil your plans, but He most certainly will not spoil your life. And so there are some, and they think that somehow God is a hard taskmaster. And to follow Him, to serve Him, to become a Christian is going to be detrimental to their lives. They have other plans, other intentions. And so they don't want to give their lives to God. And so for one reason or another, or through one means or another, they're on the run from God. Now, they wouldn't agree with me when I say that, but in effect, they're on the run from God. And then they're saints, God's people, whom Jonah represents, on the run from God, running away from His plan for their lives. Because what they have planned and what God is challenging them to do are two different things. And so they don't want to give in to the plans of God for their lives. I can remember speaking to a young man one day. I've spoke with many young men and young women in my ministry. But I can remember I was speaking to one young man, and he was not going to go to the missionary convention because he knew that God was calling him into full-time service. No, his plans was to gain some kind of high ambition that he had. And might I add, there's nothing wrong in having ambition. And there's nothing wrong in setting your sights high. But sometimes God interjects into our plans. And He said, but this is my will for you. And because it doesn't seem to fit comfortable with you, and it doesn't fit into the plans that you had and made through your life, well, you begin to run. Well, the question we must ask ourselves is, why would a person run from God, when you think of the futility of it? I mean, it's like trying to run away from yourself, isn't it? Here's what it says in Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy presence, from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from your presence? I can remember standing at the door of a very sad and a very heartbroken lady. It hadn't been that very long since her husband had been murdered by some paramilitaries. The problem that she had was that the people that murdered her husband were never caught. And so she arrived at the conclusion they'd gotten away with it. As I stood at her door and spoke with her, I said, but dear lady, they might be able to run from the law of this land, but they'll never run from the law of God and ultimately from the judge, King Jesus. There may be some of you in this service who have been harmed. And you wonder why, or perhaps robbed, or perhaps something more grievous than that. And you wonder that the person has got away with it. Let me tell you, no one gets away with anything. They might be able to escape the law of this land, but there's no one can escape the presence and the judgment of God. I want us to explore this whole question of running away from God. Three very simple things concerning this intriguing question. Those that are running from God have usually heard from Him. Now that's easy to understand, isn't it? Those that are on the run from God have usually heard from Him. Just like Jonah, they heard a word from the Lord. Now, I want to submit to you that there are quite a number who are on the run from God who they think they know who God is. They've listened to some contorted, mangled, twisted, perverted, and confused idea of who they think God is. And I've already referred to it. They have listened to the lie of the devil. God's a hard taskmaster. That God will spoil your life. They have listened to the opinions of others. Their assessment of their experience of who they think God is. Or they have listened to some unbiblical source of who they think God is. You know, you're going to discover there are many people who will give you their interpretation of who they think God is, but they have neither a clue nor a right to give you their opinion. Ultimately, you will find out who God is as you read His Word. And as we spoke about this morning, Jesus is a God manifest in the flesh, and He is everything that you'll ever want to know about who God is. And if you want to know who He is, then you look at how He dealt with a woman caught in adultery. Look how He dealt with those who lost loved ones. He had compassion, love, and care. And if you think that God is anything else, you are badly mistaken and grievously misled. Well, for the case of Jonah, he had heard from God. And that's why he began to run. And you're going to discover, as you read through the scriptures, that there are quite a number who had heard from God. And when you hear from God, it's a distinct word, isn't it? God will never leave you in any doubt but that He has spoken to you. And if God has spoken to you, you know He's spoken to you. And you try to avoid Him. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, here's what it said as God came and communicated with Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. It was when Jonah heard God speaking to him that he ran. And that's a typical response of many a sinner who has heard the voice of God. And I know this by experience. Because being an evangelist in my earlier days, whenever you'd see people attending meetings and missions, you'd see them attending more frequently. And quite often there was a cut-off point when they stopped coming. And usually when they stopped coming, it was whenever God started putting the pressure on them that they needed to do something about what they were hearing. And then they stopped attending. Now, I have had many encounters and many experiences of people having been an evangelist. And I'm sure those of you who are evangelists in this gathering will be able to concur with me. Sometimes they'll break off friendship with you when you get when you start speaking and sharing your testimony, and they'll say, who do you think you are? You know, there are many ways of running from God, you know. Not just a matter of burying your head in the sand, cutting off contact with church, or stopping reading the scriptures, or stopping having friendship with those who are Christians. There are many ways. They don't understand and they don't realize that they're running from God, but that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. It's quite alarming, isn't it? That whenever you think your life is all right, and suddenly God speaks into it and you discover it's all wrong. It's quite an alarming and an awakening experience, isn't it? And I'm sure that many in this gathering could stand at their feet and say, I was going along in life fine until God shone the searchlight of His Word and His Spirit on my life, and I felt so down and out. Like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. It's quite alarming, isn't it? And sometimes the response of people is to seek to run from God. Can I say to you, it would be far better if you would run to God. Run into these arms of mercy. Run into the arms of love and grace and compassion and understanding, because it's there mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary. Quite often when God speaks into your life, He's seeking to make you aware of your need. Now, you will never be aware of your need unless God speaks to you. But whenever you become aware of your need, it is because God has spoken to you. No man of himself comes to that place of understanding. Jesus said, none can come to me except who? The Father which sent me, draw him. Usually those that are on the run have heard from God. Psalm 139 and verse 2 to verse 3 and verse 6 says, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my thought, my path, and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Usually when someone's on the run, it's because they've heard from God. A second thing about being on the run is this. People that are running from God believe they can escape. Wouldn't that be an honest statement? Would that be proper to say? Why on earth would you run if you didn't think you could escape? When God speaks, you will be in absolutely no doubt but what He wants you to do. In Jonah's case, he is in no doubt what is required of him. And it was clear, it was as clear as a pikestaff. And therein is his problem. You see, if it had been a little less clear, he could have always said to God, well, now listen, Lord, you didn't make it very clear for me. And he could have had that excuse. We could also turn to Matthew chapter 19, where the rich young ruler came running to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus puts his finger on the one thing. The God in his life was his riches. And he told him to go sell whatever you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. He was sad at the saying, and he went away sad. Many today are like him. God had spoken. But here was his response. Not yet, Lord. Not me, Lord, and not now, Lord. Someday the tables will be turned, and God will say, here is what I wanted to do for you, or here is what I wanted to do in you, and now it's too late. A wee bit like the picture in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, where we read as Jesus stood over Jerusalem as he had traveled in those regions for over 3 years preaching the gospel. Here's what he said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Or as the writer said to Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, there's many like Jonah today, and they make the conscious decision that they're going to try and run away from God. But like Jonah, each one will be responsible for their vain and futile attempt to avoid God's plan for their life. From the moment God shows you what you should do, what you ought to do, and you refuse to do it, you're on the run from God until the day you do it. Are you with me? There are some, and I don't know for what reason, think that they can escape when there's no escaping. Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 2. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it says in Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give us account of himself to God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is no escape, and there's no escaping. You might get through this life without giving in to the claims of Christ for your life or the plan of God for your life, but mark my words, Scripture teaches one day you'll stand and give an account for every disobedience of yours regarding God. Sometimes people, I believe, feel that they can escape. Dear soul, there is no escape. And like that woman that I spoke with at her door in the little village outside of Monaghan town, you might escape the law of the land, and you might even escape doing what God wants you to do in this earth. But you'll not escape in the next life. And here's the last thing, the third thing that I want to say about on the run. Everyone that succeeds in running away from God in this life pays a high cost. It says in verse 3 of Jonah chapter 1, he paid the fare thereof. And what a fare it was. I mean, he went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down to the sea. He went down into the ship. And then he went down into the bottom of the sea. And then he went down into the belly of the fish. You do believe that Jonah swallowed the whale, don't you? And there's a man stood up, he says, now, hands up those of you who agree that Jonah swallowed the whale, and everybody put up their hand. That's because they weren't listening. Whenever you see, you'll see it in that verse 3 in Jonah chapter 1, you'll notice that from the moment God told Jonah what to do, it was downhill. Notice that. He went down to the ship, he went down into the boat, he went down into the sea, he went down into the fish's belly, and he even made the fish sick. There's a high cost for running away from God. For the saint, there's the losing out of his best for your life. You know, the word of God says, eye has not seen, nor the ear hath heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, I tell you, sometimes people miss out on the great joy and the thrill of walking walking with God, what it is to walk with God, to be in fellowship, to listen to His sweet voice as He speaks to you morning by morning, because you know that you're in the will of God for your life. You know where you ought to be with Him. He's with you because you're listening and obeying His voice. And to do everything He says and to go everywhere He says and to know that He's with you, His presence is with you. Whither can I flee from your presence? And somehow people think that their life's better without God in their life. Oh, the cost for the saint that tries to run from the will of God. But oh, the grievous cost for the soul who never runs for salvation, never runs into His arms of mercy and grace. As Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Not only the destruction of your own life, but perhaps the destruction of your family. What it would have been to bring the gospel. Were you listening to the Lord's servant last Lord's Day evening as he talked about how this was his salvation, brought a line of salvation to his children and his grandchildren? I thought it was lovely where he got his grandchildren and said, I'm a child of destiny. God has greater things for us. Isn't it wonderful to teach your grandchildren that? Instead of teaching them how to swear, to drink and do all the debauchery that the world teaches now today. One commentator of this verse in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, your decision to reject Christ not only affects you, but it affects everybody coming after you. Let me speak plainly at the end of this message. Because at the end of your road, those of you who continue to reject Christ is the place that the Bible calls hell. Luke chapter 16, we have a man who had all the abilities and all the privileges that everybody else had, and he ended up in the place where fire is not quenched and where worm dieth not. Where he pleaded that Lazarus would dip his finger in water and cool his tongue, for he was tormented in that flame. Many in the caverns of hell have cried for centuries of their awful pain and torment and torture in that awful place. And today there are many who disbelieve of the existence of hell. I want you to note that there's not one unbeliever in hell. When they get there, it's just too late. I discovered this. I'm not sure if it's actually true what they found, but it's certainly true for the individual that wrote this. The following article appeared in the well-respected Finland newspaper, and I'm going to try and pronounce it, but hardly having the ability to speak English, let alone Finnish, you'll understand what I mean. It's called the Amen Justitia. That's the newspaper. Here was his story. As a communist, I didn't believe in heaven or the Bible. But as a scientist, I now believe in hell, said Dr. Azakov. Needless to say, we were shocked to make such a discovery. But we know what we saw, and we know what we heard, and we're absolutely convinced that we drilled through the gates of hell. You can take it or leave it, but listen to what he says. Dr. Azakov continued, the drill suddenly began to rotate wildly, indicating that we had reached a large empty pocket or cavern. Temperature sensors showed a dramatic increase in heat to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. We lowered a microphone designed to detect the sound of plate movements down the shaft. But instead of plate movements, we heard what sounded like human voices screaming in pain. At first we thought the sound was coming from our own equipment, but when we made adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed. And we believe that we are listening to the screams of people in hell. Now I say this, whether they had drilled into this place called hell or not, I don't know. But I will say this, it was the fact that they thought they had. They heard the screaming that he turned from being a communist to being a Christian. Let me say to you, dear friends, you can run from God. You can run from these arms of love. You can check that story, by the way, on Google if you like. You can run from God and his plans and his claims upon your life. But one day you will pay the price thereof. And I want to warn you, the price is far too high. A person who is on the run has heard from God. A person on the run thinks they can escape when there is no escape. But a person who succeeds in running pays an awful high cost. Christ died to deliver you, to save you. He died so that you might enjoy his forgiveness and his blessing in your life. And why would you not turn to him before it's ever eternally too late? Let's bow together for a moment of prayer before we close our service. Father, we thank you for this story of Jonah. Lord, we thank you for him, Lord, who finally succeeded or ended up doing the will of God. And Lord, we know that for him it was a struggle. For maybe some in this meeting, it's a struggle. But oh God, help them to realize it's best to obey the one with whom we have to do. Bless your word to our hearts and our fellowship together for Christ's sake. Amen. Number 554, and we're going to stand and sing together. Near, still near, close to thy heart, draw me, my Saviour, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Let's remain, let's stand and we'll sing together this lovely hymn. Let's all stand.
Oh,
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the presence and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit be our portion this evening and tomorrow and next week and until Jesus comes again. For we ask it in His name, and for His name's sake we pray. Amen. Amen.